And on the line, it's my pleasure to present the Nemetschek 2012 preliminaries to you directly from the heart of European Investment Banking here in London. First, I'd like to give a special thank you to everybody here at Berenberg who has made today's event possible. So thank you very much. We have prepared a short presentation that will guide you through just our basic set of figures for 2012. We just have published some minutes ago. And please be aware that these are really only the preliminaries. And thus the extent of information I can provide you with today is really limited. But I'm pretty sure that all the information today will really answer your, or most of your questions, on the performance of Nemetschek in 2012 and for sure as well for the outlook of 2013 and beyond. So I'm moving to page number 2, and before I come to the executive summary we put together here, I would like to give you the executive summary. So what are the main subjects in 2012 that also will be valid for 2013. It's basically first, growth in Europe, in North America, and Asia. Second is that we, as a company, show leadership in order to rejuvenate the company. So Nemetschek is celebrating the 50th anniversary, 2013. So as a comparison, SAP is just 40 years old. So third main subject is collaboration within the AC industry in order to increase the user experience and build faster. So that's the third imperative. The fourth one is open BIM, our technological paradigm. And the fifth one is operational excellence in order to improve the bottom line. So basically these five imperatives has especially driven the second half of the year of 2012, so I'm with the company since 1st of May 2012, and are also valid for 2013. So coming to the executive summary on page number 2, so this is basically the summary for the next 15 minutes I would like to walk you through. So actually we met our guidance, so that's the key message for 2012. We are happy to announce that we have fully met our 2012 guidance. The revenues were forecasted at least 175 million euros and came in with a soft landing actually at 175.1 million. EBITDA was forecasted at previous year's level of 39.3 million euros and came in well above this. 40.7 million euros. On top of this, our cash flow continued to develop very healthy and led to a strong increase of our cash flow position by more than 50% compared to last year. So we presented two new products in the market, basically BIM Plus and Navaris. Both products together with Vectorworks present our cloud and SaaS solutions so far, and we are really looking forward in 2013 to see how the market will like these product innovations. And then I will give you an outlook for 2013 as well as an idea how Nemetschek should develop over the course of the next year. And you can see here that we already have on the executive page included the first very, very conservative outlook for 2013, 6-9% revenue growth. I can assure you that the internal plans are much higher than this, but we want to provide you with the guidance that we always will keep, and this is 6-9% revenue growth. So moving to a closer look at Nemetschek performance in 2012, it's page number 4. So as I highlighted before, we already fully met our guidance for 2012. The revenues grew by 6.9 8% to 175.1 million euros. Maintenance grew a lot stronger than license sales, as you can see. The main reasons for this were exceptional high license sales, especially in the Q4 2011. But we managed to continuously improve our share of stable maintenance revenues. EBITDA did not grow as strong as revenues did, but still stronger than expected. Thus, our EBITDA margin re-accelerated to 23.2%, which is very close to the margin in the stronger year of 2011, when actually IT spending, especially in the German IT industry, were at its peak. EBIT was slightly lower than in 2011 as expected, which was already the trend in 2011 as we saw higher write-downs and depreciations in 2012. So just to also explain here, the write-downs that we have seen in 2012 was especially 1 million for a financial investment which was taken under by the AG in the midst of 2011. So this was completely written off in 2012 and does not assure any further earnings. Net income was down roughly 10% to 18.8 million euros, also then as expected, because in 2011 we benefited from high gains of deferred taxes of our subsidiary profit loss in Hungary, so in total 1.3 million euros deferred tax income in 2011, especially in the Q4 2011 that we could not repeat in 2012. Earnings per share, so thus also lower at 1.95 euros per share, or if you want to calculate without the PPA effect from the Graphisoft acquisition, is around 2.60 euros. We all have in mind that the PPA, which was 6.8 million euros in 2012, will come down in 2014 to 2.1 million. I'm going to page number 5 and looking a little bit closer at the cash flow. So you see the cash flow is also a little below the 2011 level. So the reason here is simply that our accounts payable has been a bit lower compared to 2011. So we paid a little earlier and better. Coming to the free cash flow, also a bit lower below 2011 level. We already mentioned that we are having a new ERP software installed in the group. So this ERP software is to support internationalization and get also cost transparency within the internationalization process. So this cost us slightly more than expected, and CapEx came in a bit above the expected 6 million euros. So just also to explain the CapEx here, in total we had a CapEx expenditure of 6.7 million euros, so we had basically two one-offs here. One is the ERP investment, which is 0.2 million euros, and one is actually half of the financial investment we talked about earlier. So basically 700,000 euros came from one-off impact. Net cash again is very strong, as I said before, rising more than 50% to 44.3 million euros. And finally also the equity ratio, we fully paid our debt back. So in 2012 we only had some little payments for the Graphisoft acquisition. And so as a result, our equity ratio is still raising in 2012 compared to 2011. Looking finally at the number of employees, if you compare 2012 to 2011, you see that employees have raised. This is basically because of the internationalization initiative. So only those companies are really hiring additional staff who are heavily going abroad and going for a higher international share. And actually here we have to say in Q3 we have seen even a higher actually payroll on employees, so we are even coming down a little bit. So the trend is going backward, not further increasing the staff. On page number 6, we have an overview of Q4. So basically what we see in Q4 2012 is actually some of the effects that I explained before. We had a very extraordinary Q4 in 2011, and so actually the revenues and especially the license sales decline in Q4 2012 compared to 2011. But you can also see maintenance is very strong, so it's good for us to see more and more clients really decide for a maintenance contract with us. We have a very strong EBITDA in Q4 2012, so with a margin of 26%. Basically, you can see here that we reacted to the market expectations at the beginning of Q4, where we heard some concerns even on competitor performance on markets. And basically, we had a very good cost management here in order to ensure that we have a good EBITDA performance. So coming to basically the net income, you see that this is going down. As I said, it's because of this deferred tax impact of 1.3 million in the Q4 2011 that we could not repeat it, that we could not repeat in Q4 2012. And we see that the tax rate, especially in the Q4 2012, was a little higher than expected. This is because we see a shift in revenues more to countries with higher tax rates, like for instance the U.S. And basically the result is that we will enter into a tax optimization concept this year. On page number 7, basically also again a rough overview on the cash flow side, what we have just explained so far. So you see here again operating cash flow, free cash flow, net liquidity, and again the employees' pages. Coming to page number 8, the further developments. So basically a word or two on the most important developments. The paradigm for us is really a rejuvenation, as I talked before. We see that the realignment of Altan shows first progress, so in Q3 we had an analysis and got a big picture of Altan, and in parallel we started initiatives, and in Q4 we saw that basically the first effects in Q3 and Q4 were very good. But we said, okay, we in general have to improve operational excellence as a continuous improvement process, and though we will roll out some best practices over the whole group. And basically the objective is, as I said, rejuvenation, to make the company fit as a teenager again and improve the structure and make it fit for more growth. So a word also on the CABR technology, MOU cooperation. So basically it turns out to have the first positive impact. And as you can see, so the Chinese are quite open concerning the open BIM technological paradigm, which is key for us, because open BIM differentiates us clearly from our main competitor like Autodesk. So successful launch of new products I just mentioned. So for Nemetek, we are prepared for actually covering the three main IT megatrends, which is for sure mobile devices, apps, which is to show cloud, which is to show big data, and in total collaboration. A word on M&A. We have some strategic acquisition plans, and I'm pretty sure that in the next couple of months we can give you here even more insight. And what I said also before, we are looking into corporations in order to make us even more competitive. A short look at the outlook, page number 10. As I said before, it's a little difficult actually to cover the growth expectation on the ESG industry. So you see here Kanbashi Pipe and as well Euroconstruct. So they are very optimistic actually for 2013 and beyond. And especially if you see the Pipe research, which is predicting BIM a very good future, so meaning that this will generate additional demand in addition to the regular, let's say, growth windows that we have in the market. And as I said before, the conservative outlook is revenues to be stable in the range of 185 to 190 million euros, EBITDA in the window of 42 to 44 million euros, CapEx flat on 6 million euros. And as I said, this is the outlook that we will keep, but for sure internally we will strive even for more. So coming to the page number 11, our investor relations calendar 2013, and also please see the contact here, my investor relations manager in the middle manner. I would be really proud and I would appreciate to see most of you also on actually the events and roadshows that we are offering. So thank you very much for the attention.
So I guess, operator, you can now start with the Q&A session. We're ready for that. And we'll first take the external questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star followed by 1 on your telephone. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star 2. All questions will be answered in the order received and you will be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. Just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please key star followed by 1 on your telephone. We have a question from Knut Waller in Germany. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, thank you. Just a couple of questions, if I may. First, looking on maintenance, it was striking that maintenance growth was accelerating in every quarter in 2012. And you have in some products, I think like Vectorworks and also Maxon, pretty low penetration rates. Is it fair to assume that maintenance should also in 2013 see a higher growth then on the group average? And then on licenses, you mentioned the tough comparables in Q4, which is a fair point. Which is the license growth that we should expect roundabout in 2013? And then finally, on the tax rate, which would be a fair assumption to bank in our models for 2013? Thank you.
So coming back to your first question on maintenance, yes, that's right. So Vectorworks and Maxon, they just started 1 to 2 years ago actually introducing their maintenance contracts, and we will see this effect as you are describing in 2013 and beyond, because they really have a lot of potential in order to increase their maintenance revenues. But as well. Also the other brands, they are still increasing their maintenance revenues. Otherwise, we wouldn't have this huge impact of increase. So second is on license revenues. Actually, we expect license revenues basically in the same growth rate as I predicted as the outlook for 2013. So in the range of 7 to 9%, we expect the license sales revenues growth. And on the tax rate, actually, we have given even in 2012 a corridor, a range of 26 to 29%, and actually we see the tax rate in the range of 27 to 28%.
Great, thank you.
The next question comes from Alexander through Germany. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I've got two questions. The first one is, could you please provide us with a few more details on your cost savings? And the second question is regarding your revenue and margin expectations for Nivaris and BIM Plus. Thank you.
Okay, so I start actually with the revenue expectation Nivaris and BIM Plus. So starting with Nivaris, Nivaris is a construction software, a technical construction software, which actually was introduced, launched into the market by end of November 2012, and immediately won a first product innovation prize in Austria, because the company Auer is located in Austria. And we expect actually a revenue growth, a revenue growth coming from Nivaris in this unit by 10%. So if you ask for a final absolute number, it's around 2 to 3 million in 2013. The introduction of Nivaris is a staggered actually launch process. So the first module was introduced, as I said, in November 2012. The next module will come out in October 2013, and the last module will then be launched in the first quarter of 2014. As I said, it's a very competitive software, and we have got even during the construction fair in January in Munich a lot of actually leads and interested customers. Coming to BIM Plus, BIM Plus is our collaboration platform. It's actually the 11th brand within the Nemetschek Group. It was introduced in January during the construction fair in Munich. And the market launch for BIM Plus will be mid of 2013. So actually the revenue contribution to the group will be in the lower, basically million revenue range. So it's the market launch, and it's a really completely new product for Nemetschek. So as I said in previous discussions, the contribution will not be material in the first year, 2014. Coming to the cost savings, basically if you are going for a new brand, then for sure you usually have higher costs. What we are doing is internally we are running cost savings also on the AG, where I'm directly affected, in order basically to finance the BIM Plus brand. So these are cost savings that are in total directly allocated in new products, and so also then in new revenues.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Andreas Wolf.
Hello, good morning. My question is regarding your revenue guidance. So if I compare the growth that you expect to the growth for the overall construction industry for 2013, and also juxtapose the revenue mix that Nemetschek has to this, then you are obviously guiding for growth above the growth of the overall construction industry. My question is, where does this result from? Is it that you're more optimistic on Southern Europe, or do you expect more BIM modules to be adopted or adapted, or do you expect your growth initiatives to really kick in? Thank you.
Thank you for your question. So basically, the revenue growth will come from different, let's say, pillars. And if you like, there is in our new company presentation on page number 7, there is actually the growth pillars are described. So the first or the main revenue will come really from our established growth markets. This is for sure Germany, this is for sure Switzerland, this is for sure Austria, but it's in total continental Europe with a higher one-digit growth number. I don't expect actually Southern Europe to recover that fast and so on. So Southern Europe is for us not a growth, let's say, indication, but we see there a little recovery compared to 2012. The main growth initiatives and growth contributions really comes from UK, comes from Northern Europe, comes from especially North America. Here we expect dual-digit growth as it has been in 2012, and as well in Asia, dual-digit growth as it has been in 2012. And actually the guidance that I'm providing you with, the 6-9%, as I said, is conservative. And for the outer years, we expect this as well. It's very robust. We don't see any let's say, hit or any kind of decrease. I for sure have no glass ball. But taking into account that we have a ceteris paribus development in terms of macroeconomic indicators, this will be the growth path, the minimum growth path of the group for the next year. And this is only organic growth. As I said, we are looking also for some M&A additions. So this is one thing on growth. It's basically our geographic mix, the current one, and also the extended one in terms of internationalization. The second growth pillar comes from BIM and open BIM. So as we see here, even on the actually construction outlook numbers, BIM is becoming even more standard in more and more countries. So we know that UK is going for BIM as a construction standard in 2015-16. We know that Singapore already did it. We know that North America already did it. We know that China is going to determine it. So BIM is a real growth driver and will give us additional demand that is currently not on the table. So even in Germany, BIM was in 2011 not a subject an architect or an engineer would really go for. We understood that in the second half of 2012, even Germany, who's a very conservative market, reacts on BIM. So BIM is an additional growth driver for us in addition. So basically, current market portfolio, current product portfolio, then we have two new, brand new products, BIM Plus giving us collaboration opportunities, which are highly demanded from architects and engineers, because they are in a professional development working with a huge workflow of professional other, let's say, partners, and we have open BIM, and we have the internationalization point.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Jens Jung.
Jens Jung, hello. I have a couple of questions, starting with my first question regarding your margin development in Q4 2012. It's obvious that it's strongly higher compared to Q4 2011, but also compared to previous quarters. Can you give a bit of light, share some light on the reasons behind this positive margin development in Q4 2012? That's my first question. My second question is regarding your outlook. If I calculated right, you indicate not a margin increase in your outlook in 2013. What's the reason behind that, given the fact that you have the 2012 numbers include some special one-offs? Maybe a little bit share some opinion about with us regarding the margin development in the future? That's the second question. And the third question is regarding your dividend policy. As I remember, you pay out normally about because the dividend payment is relating to your operating cash flow performance. I have not the figure. Was it 1/3 or was it 30% of operating cash flow, the relevant figure? That's my third question. And my last question is regarding your outlook. The previous speaker said, you said on the speaker's data that the 6-9% revenue growth is based only organically. Is this right? And the possible external growth, which you talk also about, coming on top? That's my fourth question. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Jung. I try to walk through your questions. So the margin development in Q4 was really driven by a very tough cost management. So this is not a regular spending. We really cut costs, we moved costs like hiring, we really have frozen costs on communication and marketing. So in Q1, we will see a regular spending, but actually, the spending that we will see in Q1 2013 will be lower than the Q1 2012. So this is the margin expectation here. And actually, if I take a little look on the first January results in 2013, I'm really confident not only on the margin but also on the revenue. Concerning the second question, is margin development in 2013 in general? So basically, yes, we have one-off in 2012, and also this margin development, the 22-24%, is really, really very conservative, as I said. Yeah. So the point is, because I started my assignment with Lemashek, so due to the illness of my former Muslim colleague, I was leading the company since 15th of June 2012, and then some weeks later, I had to perform my third earnings call in Q2, and I had to revise the guidance. So this is an experience I won't continue, and I don't want to repeat. And therefore,
okay,
the guidance is totally conservative.
Okay.
And for sure, I'm a very ambitious person. So internally, we have much higher and challenging objectives. But I'm just really closing them yet now.
Okay.
We have the 15th of February. So please give us a little time, and this is the conservative guidance.
Okay.
Concerning your third question on dividend policy, we stay to the 25-30% of operating cash flow. And for sure, we want to keep our actual shareholders happy, and we will take a close eye on it. On the fourth question concerning the outlook, it's purely organic.
Okay.
69% purely organic. And actually, as I said, in Q2, we have something that will be nice for the market to hear, and to show also in the second half of the we are working also on something.
Thank you for the remarks. Very helpful.
So for now, I would suggest we take some internal questions. As you know, we are here live and kicking in the headquarters of Berenberg in London, and we have around 15 fine ladies and gentlemen at the table now who really would be happy to ask some questions. So we postpone the external questions for a bit, and for the next 15 minutes, for the internal questions, you will also be able to hear these questions on the phone line.
Yes, hi. I've got a question on the international strategy. So basically, you're guiding for about 10 to 15 million extra revenue for next year. It's about 50 maintenance and license. So let's use 10 million so that my math is easier. So that's 5 million extra license.
could you give us an indication of how much of that you expect to come from Germany and how much of that you expect to come from the international market? And also elaborate a bit more how is your international strategy based on?
Okay. So coming first to the point, what is the international strategy based on? So as I said, the main international market for us, except Europe, is North America and Asia. But in the second half of 2012, we have seen that we really got a very good foot into the door in South America. So basically, we have growth initiatives. So we have a dealer network. We have our established, actually, even customer base, especially in North America. And North America was really a very good growth contributor in 2012. And for 2013, we really think there is even this growth rate of 2012 and additional potential. So the U.S. market is for us a very healthy and growing and really a very high potential market. The same in Asia, actually in countries like Japan, we are market leader. Yeah? So we have a very good customer base in Japan, in Singapore, in Vietnam, in Taiwan, in China. So it's already established. And what we are doing is basically really also something like the CDR technology MOU for China is giving us even more, let's say, backwind. Yeah. So we are really rolling out our strategy in Asia. In South America, as I said, we started our legal entity in 2010. In the second half of 2012, it turned out to really accelerate tremendously. So this is something that is not fully reflected in actually the revenue plan for 2013 and has upside potential. And coming back to the share question, what of these, if we pick the lower end of the revenue outlook, the 185, as you know, we have a share of roughly 70% coming from or coming back. So thank you. Basically, we have a market share of roughly 40% coming from Germany, and Germany is growing. So Germany grew in 2012 at a very solid high one-digit number, and actually we expect this growth coming or continuing in 2013. So if you are looking for, are you looking for an absolute number?
So basically, if you take these figures on the Compass presentation on slide 10, you will get an idea of the revenue split that we have right now. And as Germany is a more mature market, you have a little lower growth coming from these markets compared to the 41% that you see here from the revenue split. Although Germany, for us, is still considered a growth market. And the other split from internationalization, you can more put into one huge melting pot because the fluctuation of sales from one quarter to another and from one country to another is still very high in these growing markets. So that's the reason why we don't put this close more single countries and growth from single countries, as this would more bring, it wouldn't calm down the market, rather the opposite. So you can expect a bit higher growth compared to the revenue split from the international countries, and a bit lower revenue growth compared to the revenue split from the mature markets.
In my ignorance here about the current state of the company, but if I'm an incumbent license holder of any of the Nemetschek products, what does OpenBIM and BIM Plus do to you if I decide to upgrade or if I decide to exploit that, the new products coming out of the company? Just give me the economic impact on a license fee, for example.
Okay, are you talking about the user actually benefit or the economic impact?
The economic benefit for Nemetschek of the upgrade or of taking on the new product.
So the basic understanding that you have to see is that the product, they can either do BIM or they cannot do BIM. So if you take the products of our company, they're all BIMable, let's call it like this. What the clients can do is they can use it for 2D and 3D cuts, or they can build BIM models. Building BIM models is way more time-intense than having a 2D or 3D model. So our clients are already buying the products that are able to do BIM, but they're not yet doing way more BIM models than before. So the interest in growth of BIM or the growth of the use of BIM will occur in the next years when more and more countries decide that, for example, governmental buildings have to be planned with a BIM model. So that means we cannot give you a split of BIM towards normal cuts because the products that we sell are, they can do everything.
Okay, so in Singapore, for example,
yes,
where they've already taken on BIM as a model,
yes.
How does that impact us so far?
As I said, Singapore is a small market, so this market is not disclosed on its own. But as you know, as every building in Singapore has to be planned with BIM, all of the software used there, I would say, is probably 90% used for BIM models and only for very, very few models still for cuts. So these countries are really the markets that buy our products purely for using them for BIM.
And how does this move impact your competitive position versus Autodesk? Out of interest.
Mm-hmm. Basically, if you see Nemetschek from a strategic point, so Nemetschek was so far a software, a content provider, high quality, excellency, reliability, but a software content provider. So what we started in 2012 was to build also solutions around the content and becoming not just the content but also a solutions provider. If you get even more steps further, and I'm coming now to BIM Plus, then you are a content provider, a solutions provider, but you offer also your customer a framework of an ecosystem to really easy collaborate. The point is, within the workflow of the building industry, you have a lot of parties involved. And so the collaboration, international global collaboration, is an absolute must. So with BIM Plus having a collaboration platform, you can really now integrate all your content, your software content, your solutions, on one platform. You can easily make your customers exchange information, which was not that easy before. And this is the differentiation point compared to Autodesk. Autodesk, as you know, has really close standards. So OpenBIM is also reflected in BIM Plus. It's an open platform. It really invites also competitors. It invites external developers providing the best of three solutions. So, and this is what we discovered. What are the needs of an architect or an engineer? They don't stick to one solution only. They combine it. So they have a different, let's say, solution for a different task to get the highest efficiency out of it. And on BIM Plus, basically, they can pick all of them. Yeah. So it's not based on one product line. So it's a huge range. It's really a market shop, BIM SIM Plus and provides you with the best service capacities. And also SIM Plus was introduced in the Bau Fair in Munich in January 2013, so it's available in the public cloud. So you really have a lot of offerings and a lot of benefits to your customer that a single customer having or buying a license had not before. And this is actually what is making this SIM Plus brand that smart for the whole group. It's really integrating the single solutions and the single contents of the whole group and offering it compelled to the customer.
Maybe to close this, one important or the most important differentiator is we're the only one, compared to others, we're the ones with the open system. You can always, in the BIM circle, in the circle of users, everyone can use choose what software they like best, even from our company or from other companies. If you decide to have your architecture firm running on an Autodesk system, you can only participate in Autodesk projects. That's the point. So if you choose what software I'm going to use for the future, and if you think of how governments might decide how their BIM system should look like, would you go for a closed system or for an open system? For us, the answer seems very obvious.
Also, can you see your question again on Germany, if it's been a 2 to 3 million coming from Germany? But this is the lower end for the camera. So it will be higher end then.
You talk about job freeze. Have you also frozen the hiring in the international market?
No.
Or but only in Germany?
Yeah, not only in Germany. So we have an internal rule. If a company does not grow more than 10%, then the company is not allowed to hire. So, and therefore we had a rigid stop in the fourth quarter 2012. And as I said, because I clearly remember as we had the Q3 earnings call and also I think it was Goldman saying, you know, well, the industry is going down and so on. So in order really to ensure that the Q4 2012 was delivered smoothly on the EBITDA line, we really made this rigid cost management.
Just if we go back to M&A and the further cooperation plans, can we just get a bit more background in terms of regionally, where are you prioritizing in terms of acquisitions? What will be the strategic rationale? Is it to get engineers? Is it basically to push your products? I mean, what's the priority for that? And I mean, to the extent that you can explain, because I don't know the historical track record of acquisitions, but you know, in terms of size or benchmark, what is it that you normally look at?
Thank you for your question. So the last acquisition was in 2016, so we are in a status to be hungry for acquisitions. Basically, we are looking for technology additions, and for sure also we are looking for geographical reach. So all the acquisitions and also the corporations that we have in mind for 2013 and beyond will especially strengthen the international position. They are not focused on the, let's say, continental European market.
West or Asia?
Not continental Europe.
So it looks like these are all the questions we have from inside Bernburg now. Are there any further questions that we have from the outside, operator?
I've got two more questions. The next question comes from Boris Celine. Please go ahead.
Good morning. The vast majority of my questions have been answered, obviously. I just have two housekeeping type questions. Firstly, with the implementation of the ERP system that you had mentioned, if you could give us a bit more detail on the timeline as to how long the implementation will take, and maybe the expectation of what you'll have to spend to see it through to completion, and also just your high-level opinion as to how potentially disruptive or not disruptive this is. And the second question would be with respect to coming back to the tax situation. You obviously clearly mentioned what your expectation is for 2013, but you also said earlier in the call that you plan to initiate some sort of a tax optimization program, given that your international reach is far broader today than it was maybe 3-4 years ago. Is this program likely to result in a lower long-term sustainable tax rate, or is it too early to judge? Those are basically the two questions.
Thank you for your question. Concerning the first question on ERP, as I said before, this was really a one-time invest. So basically this was for legal entities in Beijing and in Hong Kong. So this was also €200,000 included, so little spending, but just to get the internationalization transparent. And so for sure, if you further expand, then there is a little, let's say, CapEx included for rolling out further ERP, but there is no big ERP. We have our ERP, so it's just an adjustment when we are going more international. The second question on the disruptive point, I have not understood, actually.
The second question is just on the tax program that you mentioned that you were looking
to. Okay. Actually, the tax optimization has the clear focus for sure to have a lower average effective tax rate for the group, yes.
And unfortunately, I'm just getting signs from the Bernberg team that our one-on-ones are starting already now. That, as you can see on the last slide, on slide 11 of the presentation, we are just about to start a roadshow in London now, and the team is getting a bit nervous that we are already late on the plan on the first meeting already. So if there is any question left, please dial the number you see on the contact on slide 11. That's the team, the IR team of Nemetschek back in Munich. They will be able to give you my cell phone number, and if anybody has an additional question, please ring me on my cell phone today, and I will be able to get back to you shortly or answer it directly. So thank you very much for attending the call. We really enjoyed that. And we hope to also have you as our guest on our next call for the Q1 earnings that will be published by the end of April. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, Ms. Klevich. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining. Have a very good day.